Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mills of the 12th Apostolic Cemetery in Congregation Mount Zion, Crossland, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 27, 2017, August 10, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, A Dwelling in Beulah Land. With the noise of strife upon my ear is falling, then I know the sins of men descend on every hand. Thou art in fear and things of earth, in vain to me are calling. None of thee shall move me from Beulah's land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from the bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah's land. Far below the storms of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of Yah's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, tis Beulah's land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah's land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by Yah's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here this naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah's land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna so bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah's land. You in here the works of Yah are sink in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah's land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah's land.
Part 4, Holy One of Israel. Let's continue now our study with our series. We're in Isaiah chapter 8. Moreover, the Yahweh said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershala-Hazbaz. Actually, we've already dealt with that, so let us go on into Isaiah chapter 9. Let's just skip on over to let's just do 9. Verse 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Let's do the last few verses of Isaiah chapter 8. Let's start with verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards at peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their Yahweh for the living to the dead? Now we go back to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, and we'll read about a situation there similar to this. 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go a horn after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Yahweh your Elohim. Okay, so now it says, sanctify yourselves. This is in Leviticus 20, verse 7. Therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Yahshua, or Yahweh your Elohim. And in 1 Peter 1:16, Peter alludes to this. He says that, I'll turn to it right quick. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I'm going to read a little bit earlier here in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according unto the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, in Leviticus chapter 11 now, verse 44 and 45, we turn back there right quick. It says, for I am the Yahweh your Elohim, you shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and it goes into that. So, let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 9. It says, Isaiah 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now you go to Micah 3, 6, and Micah has some confirmation on that there. In Micah 3, 6, it says that therefore, night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. So now, let's go back to Isaiah 8, 21. And they shall pass through it, hardly be stead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their Elohim, and look upward, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble, and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Okay, that ends Isaiah chapter 8. Now these are talking about in our time. This prophecy is for this hour that we're in now. Nevertheless, that dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy, they joy before thee according unto the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, for the rod, as the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of the Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with the confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with the burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty, it says God here, left out the preposition. So we're going to put the preposition in and put the sacred name in here. It says he shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, the Father, of the Everlasting Father, of the Mighty Yahweh, of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace. So he came out from Yahweh, he came out from the Everlasting Father. And it says in Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of the David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Yahshua of the host, this is the Son, will perform this. Isaiah 11:4-5 has a cross reference to that. Just look at that. It says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now in Revelation 19:15 it talks about that also, right here in the end time, John the Revelator. This says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty Yahweh. Now this rod of iron, this is his church. This is the house of David, the servant that he has chosen to rule by and through. This is the rod of his mouth. So in Revelation 14:19, backs up a little bit there, gives us a little bit more information about this. It says that, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of, that says God here, but we know better. We just read about it here in 19:15, that it is the wrath, it is the wrath of the Almighty Yahweh, the Father, So it confirms it right here. Okay, so now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9. The Yahshua sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Let's read verse 7 again. Of the increase of his government, this is the Son's government, Yahshua, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of the David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua the host will perform this. Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim. Who is Ephraim? That's the son of Joseph, of the 10 tribes in the north. So that would translate today, would translate into the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the North, 10 tribes of the North. 2 tribes, Judah, the line country of Judah, would be in the South. That would be the shepherd's rod. Alright. Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, they say in the pride and stoutness of heart, their bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Yashur shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth, for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Yashur of the host. Therefore the Yashur will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Yashur shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of the smoke, through the wrath of the Yashur the host, and is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire, no man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Who is Ephraim and Manasseh? They're the two sons of Joseph that was born down in Egypt. They were the two sons that Jacob adopted, their two sons, into the 12 tribes of Israel. The father adopted his son, Joseph's two sons, into the 12 tribes. Now that's the end of Isaiah chapter 9. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. Wow. Did we witness this in our day? I guess we did. We certainly witnessed it at the Gilead Center. In the live person. We witnessed it day in and day out. Our week in and week out for 33 years, we witnessed unrighteous decrees. We witnessed that. Why is that so? Well, number one, we'll read about it, is these vain false prophets that they start out with a vision, but then they soon, somewhere along the line, they get off the trail and they lose the vision, and then they start making up visions and dreaming dreams of their own and prescribing unrighteousness. Just continue to read about that. Now, Jeremiah 23 talks about that pretty well. All right, let's look at Isaiah 10, verse 2. To turn aside the needy. Let's read verse 1 again. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. Now, in Isaiah 59, 4 and 13 talks about that. Let's go read that. Isaiah 59, 4 and 13. It says, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And then in verse 13 it says, in transgression and lying against the Yeshua and departing away from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And it says in Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. This is right here in our own government, in our civil government. And Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and he cannot control all of this evil wickedness, but he is in the process of doing something about it all over the world. Yahweh is doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit through him, because he raised him up as his servant to accomplish this. It says in Isaiah 59:15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Yeshua saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And then it says in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So he had a righteous right arm, which is the house of David. And here in this 12th hour, where this prophecy is applied, and which we're in now, we're seeing the fulfillment of this. And it will be fulfilled through this house of David. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Isaiah 59:18. According unto their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury unto his adversaries, recompense unto his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The spirit of the Yahshua shall lift up a standard against them. And the Redeemer, what is that standard? That's his government. And and that's the house of Judah. That's the tribe of Judah, the house of David. That has the standard. The standard is a flag. It's a banner. And what does it say there in Psalms 61, about 1 and 2? It says, the banner over us is truth. And in Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Yahshua. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Yahshua. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Yahshua, from henceforth and forever. Back to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 2. Let's read verse 1 again. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed. Now, let me go to Jeremiah 23, and we'll read about another woe there. It says, verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Yeshua. And then you go to Jeremiah 10:21, it talks about that as well. Jeremiah 10:21. Let's look at that a minute. It says, for the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Yeshua. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Well, we know that Mount Carmel, we know that when Vitihalath, the prophet there, died in 1955, we know the flocks scattered. We had a prophecy on that. Also, there in Zechariah, about smite the shepherd and the flock will scatter. Let's go and look at that Zechariah a minute. I believe it's Zechariah 13:7. Yes, maybe let's pick the center of that and read it. And it says, Yahshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. I just read Zechariah 12, 7. That was a very, I'm glad I read that. All right, now in Zechariah 13, 7, it says, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Yahshua of the host. Smite the shepherd, and his sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. The shepherd rod, the Davidians apply this to V.T. Hollifer in 1955, and I've always done that. And this is a true application for that time. But it also is a true application for the shepherds after that, because the shepherd that succeeded V.T. Hollifer, Ben Roden, actually had a 10-year period to close out the rod. He had, there's a total of 15 years, but Florence Hollifer had the first 5 years after V.T. Hollifer died in 55, and Ben Roden took over from her in about 1960, 61, and he had a 10-year period up to 1970. He brought the end of the rod period. He even had the name to prove it, Rod N. Roden. So it says in Zechariah 13:7, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Against my shepherd? He raised up V.T. Hollifer. V.T. Hollifer died according to prophecy. It was time for him to go off the scene. No matter what kind of health he had, it didn't make any difference, really. It was time for him to go off the scene. Just like David died at the age of about 70. It was time for him to fulfill prophecy and go off the scene at that age of 70. V.T. Hollifer was 70 years old also when he died in 1955. His time was up. He could have certainly lived another 20, 30 years, or 20, 25 years, at least, until about 100 years old in this life, but he didn't. It's a proven fact that when he died, it shut down Mount Carmel. The place dissolved, sold off the property, and the people went in all directions. So they scattered. Well, when Ben Roden died in 78, his group scattered. They tried to hold on. His wife carried on from Ben Roden, and when she died about 8 years later, then the son took over, and the son got run off the property, and the guy that took over New Mount Carmel from the Rodens, he raised up a group of people, and they got destroyed by the government. The government come out there and burned them out and killed every one of them on the property. And so that brought New Mount Carmel to a close. So how scattered can you get? How scattered can you be? Now that was the end of Ben Roden, and then Brother Johnson took over Ben Roden in 1970, and he had the mantle for 33 years. And this is where the prophecy directly was applied to that last prophet in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, Brother W. Johnson. This is where this prophecy applies in Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Brother Johnson was definitely Yahshua's shepherd. Yahshua definitely called him and gave him his commission in 1968. He was definitely got a call. So that was the Yahshua shepherd, and that was the last shepherd over the sinful kingdom of Amos chapter 9, where it says in Zechariah 13:7, Awake, awake against my shepherd, Brother W. Johnson at Gilead Center 2002, 2003, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Yahshua the host, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Indeed, the sheep at Gilead Center, they were scattered, and they're not even to be found anymore. because they didn't carry on their father's work. The Johnsons, or Daniel Johnson, did not carry on his father's work. After Brutus Johnson was smitten, then his family did not carry on Brutus's work. So that's what I'm talking about. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Now you go to Matthew 26:31, and you can read a little bit about what Matthew had to say about that. It says that, then says Yeshua unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now what it say? Then says Yeshua unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd. So Yeshua was smitten. He was a shepherd that was smitten. And then, it says in Matthew 26:32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So who are these sheep that were smitten? And when Yahshua says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Who smote the shepherd? Yahweh the Father. He smote his son. And we had a type of that. We had an allegory of that with Abraham and Isaac, when Yahweh commanded Abraham to go up on the mount, take him up a 3 days journey and go up on the mountain and offer up Isaac for a sacrifice. And when Yahweh restrained Abraham's hand from following through with it, it says Abraham saw one of the days of the son of Yahweh. He saw one of the days of the son of Yahweh. He saw the day of Yahshua when Yahshua would be smitten. And who would smite him? Yahweh would allow it. The father would allow his son to be smitten. So the father is the one that give the okay that his son should be smitten. So he said, but the father also, he smote his son, and then he also came and raised him up again. He was the one that smote him. And then Yahweh the Father, it says out there in Hebrews 13:20, it says that he raised him up by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, now the Yahweh of peace that brought again from the dead, our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So this is the only way that you can have the life, is through the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, Paul was talking to those Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians 6:14. He was talking to them about this very same thing. And 1 Corinthians 6:14. Let's go and read it right quick. It says that, and Yahweh hath both raised up the Yeshua, and will also raise up us by his own power. Alright, now who is he talking about here? Paul is a Jew. He says, I'm a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. But he says, you Gentile are brethren. He says in Ephesians 2, he says, we are brethren. There in 1 Corinthians 6:14, he said, and Yahweh hath both raised up the Yahshua, and will also raise up us by his own power. We may go down to the grave, we finish our work, but if we are faithful, he's going to raise us up by his own power. And how is that? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant that has cleansed our sins from us, to enable the Father to raise us up by his own power. In Romans 6:5-8. So go ahead and read that. Romans 6:5-8. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 6 verse 9. Knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Likewise, we here, living in the flesh, that we are here in this 12th hour, we are in eternity. We are in the time period when we don't ever have to die. No one ever has to die that lays a hold of this covenant, of the everlasting covenant. For it says in Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh, through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now that yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What does it mean, you're not under the law? It means that Paul was talking to a Roman Gentile. He says, the Jewish people were under the law. The Gentiles were not under the law. But when the Gentiles are grafted in to that stalk of Israel, then they take a hold of the covenant, and they are required to keep the statutes and the judgment that the Jews keep. And I'll go read that to you in Romans chapter 11. It says in verse 1, I say then, hath Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. Yahweh hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want you not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to Yahweh against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my honor. But what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal, to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according unto the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What is all this talking about? Grace, there is an election of grace. And that was set aside for the New Testament. Under the law, they were elected to serve under the law of the sacrificial system. It says so. Right there in Galatians 3, I believe it's Galatians 3:17. Let's go see, or 3:19, I mean. Galatians 3:19. It says, wherefore then serveth the law? They had to serve the law under the old covenant. It was added because of transgression. They didn't have a visible Yahshua there to go to, because he was not to be the priest of the Old Testament. It says in Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by the faith and the blood of the Yahshua Messiah, I added the blood part, because it belongs her, might be given unto them that believe. That before faith and the blood of Yeshua came, we were kept under the law, set up unto the faith and the blood of Yeshua, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto the Yeshua, that we might be justified by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua. So the law is the one that pointed it out and brought us to him, the law being our schoolmaster, as it says in Galatians 3:25, but after that faith in the blood of Yeshua has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, the law is our schoolmaster. For you are all the children of the Yahweh by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua Messiah. For as many of you as have been baptized into the Yeshua's have put on the Yeshua. Well, in Romans chapter 6 it says, baptized into his death. That's in Romans 6:3. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Greek means Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in the Yeshua Messiah. And I would be remiss if I didn't add the part that was left out. For you are all one in the blood. Through the blood of the Yeshua Messiah. That's the only way you can be made one. Because it says so there in Ephesians chapter 2. And if you be Yeshua, if you belong to Yeshua, if you're one of his, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's in Ephesians 3:6 right there. Okay. Now let us go back to where we left off. Okay, Romans 11, it says, verse 8, according as it is written, Yahweh hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yahweh forbid, but rather through their fall salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them unto jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnified mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert graft in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith in the blood of the Yeshua. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if the Yahweh spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of the Yahweh on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Yahweh is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary unto nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of Gentiles be come in. So all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take, when I shall take away their sin. And concerning the gospel, the Yashpel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of the Yahweh are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed Yahweh, ye yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For Yahweh hath completed them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Yahweh, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But who hath known the mind of Yahweh, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and unto him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Hallelujah. That's the end of Romans chapter 11. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that unto whom, let's go to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? For Yahweh forbid. Know ye not that unto whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are, unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? And Yahweh be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your faith. For as you have yielded your members as servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members service unto righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants unto Yahweh, to have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life, through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Isaiah 10, verse 2. To turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the rights of the poor of my people. Let's read verse 1 again. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn away the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of the visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine and the nation. I will send him against the hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither does his heart faint so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations not a few. For it saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Telno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arphad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? And my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, do so do unto Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Yahshua hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout-hearted king of Assyria and the glory of his high lord. For he said, by the strength of my hand have I done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people, and have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a violent man. And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Shall the axe boast itself against the him that heweth with it? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Yahshua the host, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. This is Yahshua. The light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. One day. Day for a year. That would mean that translates into 1 year. And shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may write them. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of the Israel, and such as escaped to the house of Jacob, shall no more stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, in the truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty Elohim. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decree shall overflow with righteousness. For the Yahshua Messiah of the host shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore thus saith Yahshua Messiah of the host, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the man of Egypt. For yet a little while, a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger, and their destruction. And the Yahshua the host shall stir up a scourge for him according unto the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod is upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He has come to Aath, he is passed to Migron, or at Michmash, he hath laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage, they have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid, Gilead of Saul is fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim, cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmanah is removed, the inhabitants of Gibeon give themselves the faith. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Yeshua, the Yeshua of the host, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humble. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. That brings us to the end of Isaiah chapter 10 and the end of this study. So let's close now with a song.
Let's bring a song. The love of Yah is great afar, and Terrapin can never tell. It goes beyond the highest thought and reaches to the lowest hell. No guilty path, no down to take, no greatest thought to live. He's having his child, he's yet inside, when pardon for his sin. Oh, love of
Oh,
Oh,